Good morning and welcome to St. Stephen Lutheran Church. Pastor Bernthal is away at a pastoral conference this week, so we will be having a lay service today. Please rise as we open our service with prayer. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, there is no one like you in power or wisdom or grace. You alone are God above all the universe. May we worship no one beside you, O Lord. May our worship and praise be pleasing in your sight, and may you strengthen and bless us through your holy word. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. Please be seated. Our opening hymn for today is hymn 902, Lord Jesus Christ, be present now. Service today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and will walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and gives them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ, have mercy. Be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. O God, because your abiding presence always goes with us, keep us aware of your daily mercies that we may live secure and content in your eternal love. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. The first reading from today is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 and 21 through 33. Glory to you, O Lord. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly, I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Here ends our second reading. Praise to you, O Christ. As together we confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. The hymn of the day is hymn 660, Stand Up for Jesus.
Thank you. Please stand up for Jesus as we read and study the word of our Lord. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of our Lord that we read as a basis for our meditation this morning is taken from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 20, verses 7 to 13. O Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I, and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted, violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. For I heard many mocking, fear on every side, report, they say, and we will report it. All my acquaintances watched for my stumbling, saying, perhaps he can be induced, then we will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, you who test the righteous and see the mind and heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for I have pleaded my cause before you. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the poor from the hand of evildoers. So far our text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, whom we confess before the world unashamedly, dear fellow redeemed. We're not in it to win a popularity contest. This expression came to mind with the reading of today's gospel lesson when Jesus tells us what's involved in being a Christian who unashamedly confesses him and his teaching in the world. Jesus, who is our master and teacher, tells us that since he was not popular with many among those that he carried out his ministry, but was persecuted, so also will we, who are his disciples. We can expect the same kind of mistreatment in the world. The saying, we're not in it to win a popularity contest, also came to mind when studying this text that stands before us in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was not a very popular prophet with the Jews in Judah or the city of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah's unpopularity was not due to his own fault. He was despised by the Jews because of the message that God called upon him to proclaim to the Jews. Jeremiah was instructed to reprove them because they had rejected the one true God and they were running after false gods. A worship involved in worshiping these false gods was that of, part of it, the religious rite of sexual immorality and sacrificing their children to their idols. Since the children of Israel continued to reject this reproof from Jeremiah and the other prophets before him, the prophet was supposed to warn them. Warn them of an impending judgment that would come upon them for rejecting him and his word. A judgment which involved sending an enemy neighbor of the Babylonians to destroy many of the Jews, level the city of Jerusalem, and carry away the survivors into captivity. The Jews, with a hardness of hearts, rejected this message, this divine message from Jeremiah, because they did not like to hear what he was saying. And they were offended by it. Who are you to tell us that we're in the wrong and that God is going to judge us? Over the course of my ministry, there have been cases where souls entrusted to my care were not very receptive when I came to them to reprove them of their sin or living in sin. Nor were they glad to hear me warn them of the spiritual and eternal jeopardy that they were in for not listening to God's word and rejecting it. I can say quite safely that I was probably one of the most unwelcome visitors that came to their door. Thankfully, though, there have been many members in whose hearts the Spirit of God worked repentance, and they rejoiced in the knowledge of their salvation through their Savior, Jesus Christ. What about you? In your personal faith life, when testifying of the Christian way, trying to help a fellow Christian or someone outside the faith in a loving way to reprove them of a false belief or a sinful way of living? How did those respond that you were trying to help? That, of course, depends on whether the Spirit of God was successful in opening their minds and hearts to be receptive to it. Whenever or wherever your testimony is not well received, you're most likely not going to be very popular with them. And they'll let you know it by what they say and do and how they treat you. The mistreatment Jeremiah was subjected to by his unresponsive hearers was no picnic, to say the least. In the opening verses of chapter 20 of this book, we read of a leading religious authority who beat Jeremiah. On another occasion, he was thrown into a deep, dark, dank pit. And his enemies, who wanted to get rid of him, were plotting and planning how they could have him killed. Also, in the prophet's discourse found in our text, he tells us of being the daily subject of mockery by everyone and being made a laughing stock of the city. His mockers were interested in getting hold of any piece that they could use against him to discredit him. Even his friends, his personal acquaintances, turned against him. In verse 10, Jeremiah writes to them, "All my acquaintances watch for my stumbling, saying, 'Perhaps he can be induced. Then we will prevail against him and we'll take our revenge on him.'" His friends, so-called friends, were watching, keeping a keen eye on Jeremiah to see if they could see he would trip up some way in his ministry that they could use against him. To be sure, Jeremiah was not in it to win a popularity contest. As he faithfully proclaimed God's words of repentance and salvation through the promised Savior. As stated before, it's not very pleasant, nor is it easy, an easy thing to be subjected to such ill treatment simply for trying to help people with the Word of God. And it is times such as these that our old sinful nature rears its ugly head and tries to raise questions and doubts in our minds as to whether we should keep on testifying of the Lord in this world that is hostile to Christ and his followers. Jeremiah had misgivings about continuing to testify to the Jews, as well as temptation to just simply stop. Stop talking about God to these people. They don't want to hear it. They just mock him and ridicule him. But his work had only resulted in being rejected and mocked when he clearly sounded the word of warning on account of their sinfulness and their rejection of God's word. The people simply laughed at him. And they made fun of him. Whether it was a matter of frustration or not wanting to be the butt of jokes or receive even worse mistreatment, Jeremiah was struggling within himself as to whether he should keep on testifying of the Lord to a people who were very hostile. In other words, he was tempted to just shut up, be silent, don't talk to them anymore about God. How many times haven't we been tempted to just remain silent? We may say to ourselves, why should I try to help others by testifying of the truth when they don't want to listen? And they get angry with me, upset, don't want to have anything more to do with me. We may also think to ourselves, I don't need this grief. If they want to treat me like this, they can keep on rebelling against God and they'll suffer the consequences for it. Of course, that's the flesh that's talking, isn't it? However, in the case of Jeremiah, he did not give way to the temptations of stopping his testimony to the Jews. He couldn't do it. And why was that? How is it that Jeremiah couldn't stop testifying of the Word of God in the face of such opposition and persecution? In verse 9, Jeremiah tells us that inner struggling in which the will of the Lord prevailed. He writes, then I said, I will not make mention of him or speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Jeremiah tells of the word of the Lord causing him to have a burning fire and desire in his heart so that he could not remain silent, but was compelled to continue to proclaim the word of God to a unreceptive and to a hostile people. What was the spiritual fuel that put a burning desire in his heart so he couldn't stop testifying to them? Well, he doesn't really point to any particular word of the Lord that made that happen. There's no question that he felt duty. He was called to be a prophet of God to proclaim this very word to these people. God laid this on his heart. This is what your duty is. And every Christian has an obligation to testify of Christ in the world, no matter what kind of reception it receives. But what is even more compelling than this is what the Apostle Paul says about what was the motivation behind his ministry. And you know Paul's ministry. He was faced with severe persecutions, even to the point of he was stoned one time and left for dead. What was the motivation for him to keep on testifying of Christ in spite of all the persecution he faced? Well, he writes in his second letter to the Corinthians, for the love of Christ compels me. He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Both the prophet Jeremiah and the apostle Paul were moved by the redeeming love of God in Christ Jesus, their Savior. No matter what anyone would say or do to harm the prophet or the apostle, they had to keep on testifying to the lost and condemned so that they might have opportunity for the Spirit of God to have a chance to work in their hearts and lead them to repentance and faith. It was the Lord who was actively working in the hearts and ministries of these servants of the Word. It was the Lord who worked in them both to will and to do of his good pleasure, in this case, which meant bearing witness to the truths of God for the spiritual and eternal welfare of their hearers. The prophet Jeremiah writes in verse 11, "The Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten." The mighty God was with Jeremiah. It was his powerful and awesome power at work at him that gave him the necessary strength to carry on in the face of opposition and persecution. It was because of God that Jeremiah's enemies would not prevail against him. Sadly, it was not only a matter of them facing a fearful judgment at the hands of the Babylonians to be killed or carried away into captivity, but they were also facing eternal condemnation for rejecting the word of the Lord in impenitence and unbelief. Jeremiah didn't want this to be the fate of any of the Jews. And neither do we want this to be fate of any of our fellow people on this earth. That's why Jeremiah and confessing Christians continue to try to help others be rescued to the saving word of God. After hearing all that Jeremiah was subjected to, what do you think you would expect to come out of his lips? Would it be words of complaint? Well, we read in the final words of our text, we hear words of praise come out of his mouth for the Lord, to glorify him. He exclaimed, "Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the poor from the hand of evildoers." He was moved to sing and praise the Lord to the glory of his precious name. He glorified God, being thankful to him for a poor sinner like him. He first of all thanked God that God rescued him from Satan by leading him to repentance and faith. And secondly, the Lord also made it possible for Jeremiah's enemies not to get the better of him, so that he would cause him to stick his tail between his legs and run away. No. Jeremiah stood his ground. He continued to lovingly, fearlessly, and faithfully proclaim God's word to the Jews. The message of this scripture text was not only intended for Jeremiah, it's intended for Christians in every generation of time. We, each of us, are called to confess the Lord unashamedly, openly, to a world that is living in the darkness of sin and unbelief. Like as with Jesus, we can expect that we're not going to be very popular. We're not going to win a popularity contest when we testify of him. And like Jeremiah, we need to rely upon God, his word, and his power to keep on sharing the message of life and salvation. Why? Because God would have all people come to the knowledge of salvation through our Savior, Jesus Christ. God help us to be faithful Christian witnesses for the salvation of souls that the Lord would still bring into His eternal kingdom. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
If you have an offering to give today, please place it in the plate of the church entryway. Please. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Our sermon hymn for today is hymn 839, O Christ, our true and only light.
Thank you.
Please rise for the prayers of the church. Lord Jesus Christ, we can only marvel at your great humility for leaving your throne to walk the way of the cross as our substitute. We know we could never enter heaven on the basis of our own merit, for we have sinned and come far short of the glory of God. But we know your grace, dear Savior, that through you we're rich for our sakes, you became poor, so that we, through your poverty, might become rich. Through you, we have full forgiveness and perfect righteousness. Through you alone, we are graciously made fit in every way for heaven. Oh, let us never fail to appreciate and trust all that you did to redeem us from our sins and reconcile us to God. By prayerful meditation upon your cross, your bitter suffering and death for us, may we grow more mature in our faith and love for you, and at the same time learn to love all mankind. Give us ready hearts to believe whatever you say and obey whatever you command. To this end, send your Holy Spirit with his grace to dwell in us richly and to work in us powerfully. We also praise you as our exalted Lord and Savior for having gotten us the victory over death and the devil and over sin and hell. You rose again from the dead and are now glorified at the right hand of God in heaven. As our living and exalted prophet, comfort our hearts with the gospel of forgiveness. Cast away from us all doubt and draw us continually closer to you. Use us as your witnesses to proclaim your saving name to others. As our exalted high priest, hear us when we pray and intercede for us at the Father's throne. Wash away our sins in the blood that you shed for every sinner. As our exalted King, watch over us day by day, protecting us from all danger, guarding and keeping us from every evil that threatens our bodies or souls. In your mercy, attend to our many physical needs, and most important of all, preserve us unto your heavenly kingdom. We ask it all to the glory of your precious name, before which every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Hear us, Lord Jesus. We can now come together with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now the blessing given by God for the blessing of his people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. Our closing hymn for today is hymn 818, In Thee Is Gladness. Thank you. Please be seated. Good morning. Only have a couple announcements for today. VBS registration is open. I believe we have 18 members already signed up for VBS. It's quite a success already. And there is a Pacific Coast Women's Retreat in October 6th through 8th in Washington that's coming up. And there's contact information in the bulletin today. Are there any other announcements? May you all have a blessed week.